Good, brother. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Just waiting for the site to build. Can't see you at the moment.
Oh, you want me to put a camera on?
Yeah, if you can.
I'll have to go dig one up now.
Yeah, I think the visual aspect of communication goes a long way when people can see mannerisms and that sort of thing. I know these days, with the technical issues that everybody has with Skype, recordings are often spoilt because there's not enough juice coming to the feed.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. I don't usually do. I try to avoid camera interviews.
Yeah, why is that then?
I don't like cameras.
Oh.
I don't like being on camera.
Right. I'll have to look into your psyche on that one.
I don't like being videoed. I don't like being photographed.
Well, no. I'm very much appreciating you doing this for us today.
Yeah, I try to avoid cameras as much as possible. I hate being on press TV. I hate the camera.
Yeah. And so, naturally, the purpose of this conversation is to introduce you and your work to my viewers to get the word out a little bit more. Obviously, there's lots of people that have been following me over the years that have also been following you, and so they are very familiar with the likes of yourself. And the variety of speaker which you have become. I akin you very much in the realms of like Doug Michael and Michael Tesari and even Mark Passio. It's kind of like it's all the same stuff, and I found myself discussing all the same stuff. And so what we find is when we start to delving into this stuff and start vocalizing our opinions, that's that we get into a realm where we fit into this thin line of esoteric information, and once we tap into it, then there's nowhere else to go, because we realize that there's a couple of worlds going on here, and the vast majority of the people are in one world. And when we start to educate ourselves about spirituality, about the nature of the universe, about government and humanity and human nature, all this stuff, then we find ourselves in this thin line, which is something that the everyday media just doesn't want to encompass. It wants to avoid at any cost, because this is real information. It's outside of the theater. And so, first of all, let me just introduce you then. Max Egan. You have a couple of websites. You have your podcast on a regular basis. Do you want to introduce yourself? Save me fluffing it.
Yeah, well, Max Egan, I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com. As you say, I do a weekly podcast, Surviving the Matrix. It's been going for almost 10 years now. I've got another website, the Full Circle Project, fullcircleproject.net, which is a site designed to basically link people up together so you can form support groups and activist groups in your own community. So that's basically what I'm doing. I can't see you either. Have you got a camera on?
Oh, you can't see me?
No, I can see a green something.
Right. a green something. I'm not turning into a wizard, am I?
Or a grey something. I mean, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what's happening with this Skype, Max. It's beyond me. Every Skype session that I'm recording these days comes up with multiple pictures of the other people. Some of them are all, like you say, all greeny and all this sort of thing. At the risk of spoiling what we've already said, I'd like to press on with it, and hopefully that the recording comes out better than you can see visually. I can see you in perfect clarity, and so at least the viewer can see. Seeing me isn't important.
I can see me, but yeah, all good.
And so, well, yeah, what I look like. Have you viewed the odd video? that
I haven't actually. So it's
right. So you don't know who what I look like.
No idea.
Interesting.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. That's
well,
fine.
Hopefully, the picture will come at some stage throughout this conversation.
It looks like you've got something over the camera from where I'm sitting.
Right, okay,
anyway.
Right then.
Anyway, all good.
Hang on, I'm going to try to rectify this because it appears that my camera isn't actually on. Goodness me.
There you are.
Right, okay, so what I've just done is now, my Logitech new camera is the one that I've always used for Skype, but for some reason today it didn't want to include it in this conversation, so I've turned that off now. So now you can see me with my regular 720 camera, yeah?
Oh, I can see a picture of you, but that's okay. I know.
Oh,
you're
okay, looking. You can only see a picture.
You are human, that's all good.
Yeah, goodness me.
It's okay, brother.
Yeah, okay. So, so you are traveling around a great deal and you are speaking, about, the issues that we have as human beings, under the, indoctrination, hypnosis, of the powers that run this world.
Well, pretty well, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty desperate situation that we're in. The powers that believe they be are doing pretty drastic things. And yeah, what we've got here is a cacistocracy, a ruling cacistocracy, is what I like to call them. Cacistocracy is basically defined as rule by the worst elements of society who rule entirely in their own interest to the permanent detriment of all other classes. And that's what we've got. You know, we've got a criminal class that's running this world, and we need to take that into account in everything that we're doing. In every remedy we're trying to find to this situation, we need to factor that in, the fact that the world is run by criminals. And, yeah, we need to deal with this. We absolutely need to deal with it. We can't tolerate the situation that's happening too much longer, I don't think. I mean, it's getting pretty drastic. It's getting pretty bad. These people are doing everything they can to basically curtail the human experience and create all these wars. And they're about to lock us down into this smart prison. And everyone's sort of buying into that under the guise of convenience. I think it's important that people pay attention to what's actually going on here, you know, like, you know, the technology that we've got, I mean, a lot of it is really good and it could be highly beneficial to us, but unless we factor in the reality that the world is run by criminals, then it's just going to lead us into a place that we don't want to go, you know, that's the thing. People aren't taking into account who's running this world and what they are doing with the technology and where they're leading us, you know, and, you know, it's all been brought in under the guise of keeping us safe and giving us all these conveniences, you know, keeping us safe from terrorism that the governments create themselves. So, you know, it's all one big scam and we need to pay attention to it. Now, I've really had it with these people that are running this world and I think it's time we held them accountable. You know, at least started to use their law against themselves. And if we can't do that, which I don't think we will be able to, then it should be a good indication to people that there is no law. There's no law on this earth because it doesn't apply evenly across the board. And so we as people need to identify the fact that we have criminals that have taken over our governments. We need to deal with this situation. That's been the basic message. And I think it's important that people, you know, gain this realization and address this issue.
Yes. Now, in my 5 years of delving into all this stuff and making so many realizations about how this world is run, and looking back into the history, it seems to me that there's been very little changes come about other than the advance in technology. If we go back to the Roman period, for instance, with their Senate and their manipulation and their the whole premise of theatre that they generated, you know, bread and circus, this sort of thing, they worked out at a very early age that if you give the masses a certain level of comfort, then you can appease them and you can take away many facets of their thinking ability and what it is to be a human being solely if you give them a level of comfort which they can operate within. Because by the time they've got somewhere, you know, reasonable to stay and they've got food in their stomach, then most people are prepared to accept that. And there's very few people who really are are driven to bring about any real changes. And, you know, so what really has changed? I find it really difficult to get my head around that we're ever going to make any changes in relation to this. And albeit there's people like yourself and many others that are endeavouring to do so, I think it, not to you know, piss on anyone's parade, but I think it's futile. Obviously, when we look at the situation, this is a world-encompassing endeavour. And like you say, it doesn't matter what nation or what government or what hierarchical system, they all operate under the same rules predominantly, or the same agenda. And that agenda is to keep themselves in power. And so even if the Chinese don't get along with the Americans, which I'm not even sure about that, nor the Russians, they all have the same agenda, which is the suppression, the manipulation of the masses, because they want to keep their supremacy. And so because the machine is so massive now, and with the implementation of the modern technology, which is beyond the comprehension of the people in the street, where are we going to go in view of the fact, when we look at particularly then this G-grid thing, it is being forced upon the whole world, and there's barely a person that has a single clue about the dangers of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty dark and dismal situation that we're facing. It is. And again, like with the technology, there's nothing wrong with the technology. The only thing that's wrong with it is the fact that the world's run by criminals. You know, so that's what people need to identify, and that's what people need to address. You know, we're not going to do anything to stop the technology. The technology's coming. It's already here. It's who controls it and what direction it's going in. Yeah, the problem with 5G is the danger to our health that it's going to ensue from this 5G grid. You know, we're going to see a rise in cancers, skin cancers, all sorts of stuff just because of the radiation of it. I mean, that's a bad thing. You know, what 5G is all about, I mean, 5G isn't the be-all and end-all. It's simply what they need to get the bandwidth to push this whole IoT smart grid ahead. But it's the people that's running it. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Internet of Things. There's nothing wrong with having a smart grid in place. If we had basic humanity, you know, something with a little bit of compassion, people with a little bit of empathy in control of things, but we don't. You know, we need to get this concept out of our heads that we need government is the problem. And like you say, it's never changed since Roman days. It was a scam back then, and it's still a scam. I mean, all government is a group of opportunists that get in the way of us performing the things we need to do as society. We don't need government at all. You know, government is simply racketeering. That's all it is. And we need to identify that fact. You know, as things get, you know, harder and harder for people, which they are, you know, life is getting harder and harder for people. I'm just hoping that people will soon start asking the question as to why their life is so hard, why they need to pay to be alive, why they have to follow all these rules, which don't appear to apply to the people who make the rules. And yet these people are people that we employ to manage things for us. So how are they able to do the things they're doing? They're all in abuse of the office that they hold. You know, we've got to stand up against these people and call them out for what they are. Theresa May is an out-and-out criminal. You know, the Prime Minister of England, the Prime Minister of France, the Prime Minister of every country, all of these people are out-and-out criminals. And the whole concept of war, like you were saying, you know, America going to war with China, the Chinese people don't want to go to war with America. The American people don't want to go to war with China. And the Chinese governments and the American governments don't probably want to go to war with each other either. But they create the specter of war to give themselves control over their populations because all these governments work together.
Yeah.
Russia aren't the enemy. Iran isn't the enemy. They're just playing the enemy this week because they need an enemy. Without an enemy, you don't need government. So they create all these enemies themselves. And if you go to Russia or you go to China or you go to Iran, you see that the 5G grid, the smart grid, is rolling out in that country as well. It's rolling out in every single country. You know, all to protect us against these other countries, which is ridiculous. The whole thing's a scam. The whole thing's a complete scam. So we need to identify that fact. Stop doing what these people say. Stop this ridiculous respect for authority we have and realize that these people are our employees and they're all in abuse of the office that they hold. And they don't have the right to do anything that they do. We just don't question their actions. You know, they write this rubbish down on paper and say, you must do this. And we go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Rather than asking why. You know, we just need to start asking why and identifying the fact that if the law doesn't apply to these people, then it doesn't apply to us. And they're all war criminals under their own law anyway. So why the hell are we doing anything these people say without questioning their actions? That's my point.
Yes, well, the issue that we have as human beings is that I think first and foremost, predominantly, we are a lazy creature. We are a herd-like creature, and we basically we just want to live a peaceful life and a comfortable life, and we are not really too inclined to know the nature of the universe for the better part. And if you look around, like we all do at the people, then, you know, it seems like they are, you know, the proverbial pigs in shit if they can buy the latest iPhone and flat screen and keeping up with the Joneses with their car. This is paramount in everybody's lives. And if people such as yourselves want to try to educate them in another region which is completely alien to them, there's a massive amount of information that they have to absorb to get their heads around it. And this is the difficult thing, because from when I first went down the proverbial rabbit hole 5 years ago and put thousands and thousands of hours into this stuff, I was a streetwise bloke already. I'd been involved in business and I'd travelled 45 countries. I knew what the world was about, Max. But at the end of the day, there's so much stuff, information out there that you've got to get your heads around. And when you look at it and you see it so pervasive, then we've already got this little me syndrome going. And there's one of the things that stood out to me, what you say quite often in your videos, and it's kind of like, all we've got to do, folks, is, you know, start caring for one another. Well, I mean, I look at humanity, and I've never really seen that caring aspect of it outside of the small communities. And if you look at communities from a psychological perspective, and you look, say, like at tribes, there's a certain critical mass of a tribe which works well. Anything over and above that critical mass, it gets to separatists, because there's only a certain amount of people, faces and names and characters that the human mind wants to bother to absorb, because it becomes too much information. If you've got 300 people in a community, then okay, I think that's manageable. If you've got 3,000 people, that's entirely not manageable. And so what happens is then you withdraw to a certain level of detachment, and you say to yourself, well, I don't really want to be that personal with all the rest of them. I want to be personal with an amount of people that is comfortable for me, and it's a small amount. And so if you've got this small sort of communities that work perfectly well, anything outside of the community becomes stranger, and the human nature, in my estimation, becomes indifferent to the stranger. And it's like, you know, I'm all right, Jack, and we're not too bothered about the individual. And you can see it every single place you go. Look at the bloke sitting in a blanket in a doorway. How many of us, Max, are prepared to put them up for the night, are prepared to give them the clothes off our back, are prepared to come home and grab a bag of things, that clothes that we've not worn, really, in the past year, bang them in a bag and take them down to that person, grab a load of tins of food out of the cupboard and bestow them on the person? How many of us are actually prepared to do that very, very small humanitarian step?
Well, exactly. Not too many of us. But again, this is the result of this society. It's the result of this government and the situation that they've put in place. You know, the reason there's a homeless man on the street to begin with is because of the situation this government has created, whereby everyone has to pay to be alive. And we've got a money system which is designed to create scarcity for people. It doesn't create abundance or wealth for people. It creates scarcity. You know, creates a barrier between you and the abundance that exists naturally around you. So, yeah, we can look at all of these problems. Sure, there's not a lot of people that will be willing to go and help a person in that situation, because they have to pay for the food and they have to pay for their shelter and all this sort of stuff. So they think, well, if I have to do it, this person has to do it. It's kind of like the mentality, you know, I'm okay getting beaten over the head with a stick as long as everybody else is being beaten over the head with a stick.
Yeah.
And this is the mentality that's been ingrained into people. It's been indoctrinated into people. It's been trained into people. You know, and it isn't that I necessarily want to educate people or anything. I can just look at the world and say, well, this is ridiculous and we need to change it. And I question authority. I question the people that do these things, and I will not take a backward step to them because that's just the way I live life. You know, I won't do it. You know, I see a humanitarian catastrophe unfolding. I mean, there's one here already on this earth, but I see it getting worse and worse with what's going on with this smart prison. And these criminals that we've employed to manage things for us are doing everything they can to lock us down and to steal from us. And we're simply not identifying the problem. You know, we're going and putting band-aids on the symptoms. Like even going and getting blankets and going and taking cans of food out of the cupboard and going to give to a homeless guy is putting a band-aid on the symptom. Look at what's created the homeless person to begin with, and that is government. That is government. That is government that has created every single problem that we face by all the rubbish that they write down on paper and dare to call law. None of it which is law, none of it which applies to them. And the authority that they give themselves, they don't even have. You know, all democratic governments claim they get the power delegated to them by the people. But I do not have the power to write down a set of rules and tell you that I will put you in a cage if you don't abide by my rules. How can government claim it gets that power from me? It doesn't. It simply makes it up. People who sit in offices and sit in chairs abuse the office they hold and give themselves power they have no right to have. They create legislation which is not law, and they call it law, and they inflict it upon everybody else. It's a criminal act. It's racketeering, the whole thing. And we simply don't identify with it. We simply don't call it for what it is, and we're always trying to put band-aids on symptoms rather than calling it out. Start making claims against these politicians. Now, politicians have put in legislation about TV licenses, all this bullshit that they do, all this stuff which is designed to put people in scarcity. If they create legislation that causes harm, well, it's against the law to cause harm. That is the basic law of any law. You know, anything, you cannot cause harm against another person, and all government does is cause harm. So let's identify the harm they've caused and start filing claims against these individuals in office. Now, the person who sits at the desk, who put their wedding signature on a piece of paper that created the situation where there's a homeless man on the street, that person needs to be held accountable for their actions and needs to be held in abuse of the office that they hold for daring to do this, because it's not what we employ them to do. You know, we don't have the backbone to ever do that.
No.
And we expect change. We expect change. We expect we can vote someone in or vote someone out or have a protest in the street or whatever, rather than identifying the fact that it's just people, just individuals in office who are all in abuse of the office that they hold by just pushing bullshit out across the society. And we just put up with it. We've got to name it for what it is and call it out for what it is, and stop believing that we have to respect the authority of these people, because they have no authority. Authority is a myth. It's mind control. It's rubbish. We need to get this concept out of our heads.
Yes, and so that is an intellectual standpoint, and
that's an intellectual standpoint. It's also a moral standpoint, and I will not take a backward step to these people. And I'll stand up in court and I'll ask them questions. How dare they think they can do what they do? How dare they think they can write all this rubbish on paper and entrap people into what they're doing? The whole legal system is entrapment anyway. Absolutely. They don't tell you what the birth certificate does. They don't tell you what your name is. They don't even tell you what their position is. They're all liars. They're all thieves. They're racketeers. And we need to identify them. Warmongering fools, all of them.
Yeah. I tell you what I do, Max, is I'm more of a philosopher and psychologist than an activist or anything else. And I look at the existential questions predominantly, and I look at my fellow man. And if we now look around the world and we look at the poverty in India and the African continent, and you can see that they don't have anything. You know, nothing. When I was living in Ghana, you know, people would still be dying from tuberculosis, and many other, you know, relatively simply curable diseases. And yet, people living from day to day with empty stomachs, there's an apathy which is pervasive. For instance, in any particular nation, for instance, when you've got, say, like, let's say 50 million, 100 million people then you've got a few in the government. Well, what is it about the human being which doesn't feel that they want more from this life, and they'll, you know, they'll march on the proverbial Bastille? What is it, Max, that is holding humanity back, if not itself? And so when we get into thinking, like you do and many others, we look at the world as intellectuals and we see what's going on and we want to bring about changes. I can't help thinking that all we're doing is we are projecting something which is deep-rooted in our childhood onto the world, when there doesn't seem to be anybody else that really gives a fine fuck about it. And if you go knocking on the doors of all your neighbours, and it doesn't matter how much information you've got, which can deem to be factual in dossiers, you can have a whole lorry load of it. How many of them would even be bothered to read one page? They just go, this guy's a wacko. And even if they respect you, and if they think you've got a level of integrity, they'll probably say to you, well, I don't really have time. And to be fair, there's more important things in my life immediately, like, you know, catering for my children and walking my dog and doing the shopping and painting, you know, my peeling window frames. All this level of stuff. There's too much in our individual lives now going on which keep us too busy. And we are just not prepared to look at the bigger picture.
Unfortunately, many people aren't, you know, they're not prepared to look at the bigger picture. Again, they're wasting their time putting band-aids on symptoms, you know, because they're too busy. They don't ever ask why they're too busy. They don't ever stop and ask the question why they have to pay to be alive. You know, why they have to work at a job that they hate in order to pay to be alive, to live in a place where they don't really want to live.
Yeah.
I mean, they never stop and ask this basic question. So, you know, until they're going to do that, until they're going to stop and say, well, hang on a minute, you know, I have value, then we're not going to get anywhere. No. And that's something that I've been trying to do in the radio show, something I've been trying to do for the last 10 years, is to help people see the value in themselves. You know, because we don't have to do any of this stuff. The world could be going in an incredible direction right now. We have so much technology. We have so much good stuff. At our fingertips. We have so much potential. To take it into a better direction. If we can simply identify the fact that the world's run by criminals, we can fix it. You know, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to help people identify that fact. There is no such thing as authority. Government is racketeering. Government is what causes all of these problems, all these wars, all this power, all the starvation, everything we surround the world is all done by design. They all together to pretend they're the enemy so they can lock us down into their control grid. And I simply won't do it.
Yeah.
I simply won't go along with it, you know. And that's the way I live my life. I mean, I live my life as a free spirit. I've just been bouncing around the world for my whole life, really. And that's what I do. I don't participate in society as little as possible, you know, and just try to help people see that there's a better way. You know, but if humanity destroys itself, hey, humanity destroys itself. I've got no stake in the outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do it. I didn't participate. So, you know, I tried to make a difference while I was here, tried to leave the world a better place than how I found it.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, if it all fails, well, it all fails. But I'm still not going to participate. I'm not going to participate in their slavery system. I'm not going to support their wars. I'm not going to support these criminals that are running the world. And I'm going to name them for what they are. You know, if people want to swim in that, well, that's their problem. If they're so paranoid and they're so closed-minded they can't see, I mean, they may need a certain amount of information, but I don't think they do. All you've got to do is identify the fact that, you know, these are just people and they're all in abuse of the office they hold, because you don't have the power to do what they do. So how can they claim to get that power from you? Because you cannot assign a power to someone that you do not have.
Yeah. Let me engage you with this facet, because if we look at human nature, and if we go back like 10,000 years to various tribes, then I'm pretty sure that what we would have found is a hierarchical system within any little tribe or community. Everybody, it's human nature that the vast majority of the people want to look for leaders, and there's a small minority of people whom want to be leaders. And so, therefore, it's a natural propensity of the human being to create these overlords for us. We all, like you've said on many occasions, we all create these gods and father figures because we just don't want to accept that we are God and we have all the power bestowed upon us from the universe via our consciousness and via our intention, because it's our intention, it's our vision, it's our dreams that give us our godlike qualities. But people, they they just don't want to partake in that aspect of it. Not many people do. And so due to the natural herd-like nature of the human race, I personally can't see any other way that humanity is ever going to live, because there's always going to be this autocracy, there's always going to be dictatorships, there's always going to be a governing, abusive body which wants to take advantage of other people. And you can see this very clearly from the Stanford Prison experiment, whereby you've got these psychologists and they, you know, select a group of people, they put them in the jail, they make some of them guards and they make some of them inmates, and they see what happens. And they determine that the guards instantly took this authoritarian, abusive standpoint because they could. And the reason why they did it, Max, is evidently because they enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, you know, but you've got to look at it. What creates this whole situation is scarcity in money. You know, this whole greed, you know, the whole need for government. If you didn't have money, you wouldn't need it. You know, if there wasn't money and a way to get, you know, the upper hand by having more wealth than other people, then it wouldn't be appealing. You know, in a leader situation, I mean, of course, in any tribe or clan or anything, there's going to be people with better capabilities of doing better things. Someone can build a hut better or build a bridge better or hunt better or lead the tribe better. You know, so naturally people are going to gravitate towards that. Whoever can do things best, we're going to look to that person and get advice from that guy. You know, I mean, and that's natural. You know, people have different capabilities. But it's when you introduce money and where it becomes financially profitable to lead that the problems develop. This is when you get sociopaths and psychopaths wanting the job. You get politicians clawing over each other to get the job. You, no one of integrity would ever want to be a politician or would ever want to lead a country, because it's just not what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, only a control freak would want to lead a country. But again, this is because of the financial incentive in doing so.
But if you look,
the money system, you know.
Yeah, but if you look back at you know, ancient indigenous races, then throughout the whole of the world, they've all at some stage created some sort of monetary system.
They haven't. Like tribal situations, a lot of tribal cultures, a lot of villages and stuff never had monetary situations. It's something that the West introduced. When you introduce money into the mind of someone, it's very difficult for them to ever go back and imagine life without it.
Yeah, but let me just introduce one scenario to you. Looking at the history of Ghana and Western Africa, before the Westerners got to that particular nation, then their currency was these tiny little white seashells. I forget what they're actually called, but because they're of a little trinket nature, and they can adorn you. And you see all these tribes, you see many of them, that they adorn themselves with some sort of a shiny stone or precious stone or bead or shell or this sort of thing. And so these then became cowrie shells, I think they were. These then became a currency. And when the Europeans they set foot on these nations, then they obviously saw that they like this variety of trinket to adorn themselves. And of course the chiefs had the most you know, all this adornment going on, and so therefore then they thought, well, a fantastic method of exchange then would be beads. And one of the currencies that the Europeans gave the indigenous people was beads. And so then the beads, began to get traded. And of course, what the Europeans wanted was the gold, because the chiefs were adorned in you know, gold. And so they give the beads, and then they started to give them pots and pans and utilitarian things. But, I mean, there's always going to be a level of exchange with humanity, because I think it's a natural law of the universe, to be fair, Max, don't you?
Well, to a degree, a level of exchange. It's just the currency and the scarcity that comes with it is the problem. You know, we have a scarcity-based currency. You know, and even history, I mean, I would question all history. I'm beginning to question everything that I thought I knew about history, because all we really know is that which exists within living memory. All the rest of it is just stuff that we've been told.
Yeah.
And, I question all of it. Something that I've found recently is a mud flood that's gone across Europe. As recently as 500 years ago, there apparently appears to be about 12 feet of mud that's gone across all of Europe and buried an entire level, like an entire whole story of buildings. Here in Holland, where I am at the moment, there's buildings in Leiden that have got another floor below ground. There's buildings in Russia. There's buildings in Italy. So this appears to be a mud flood that went across Europe as recently as 500 years ago that nobody knows about. So as far as history goes, I question every single thing we're told about history. I don't believe a word of it. There's too much stuff lying around the earth that tells a completely different story. I'm beginning to think that things we were told happened thousands of years ago may have happened only hundreds of years ago. I think things are very, very different than what we've been told. Just thought I'd throw that in there, just because it's being mentioned so much.
Yes, and you have to ask the question then, well, you know, in very, very recent times, really, as far as history goes, but then why has that been written out of any level of prolification? You know, the whole world can remember the Great Flood, and they've all wrote about that. Well, why weren't they writing about something which is so recent and obviously more devastating? Because we had communities and we had buildings and we had towns and cities to a degree. So why hasn't that been recorded to any extent then?
Well, that's a good question. Why hasn't it? That's the thing. I mean, why did they change the calendars? Why did all this stuff happen? You know, I'm just beginning to question everything. You know, some of the stuff that I've found in the last year has just caused me to do this. I mean, I think most of our history has just been fabricated. I really do.
Yeah.
I question everything. You know, it'd be really nice to gain the freedom. This is another reason why I'm so active in speaking out against governments, because all of this information has been hidden from us by these people. You know, there's this whole concept of authority, this whole concept that we need people to control us. You know, integrity has no need of rules. Sure, we have a situation where there's a lot of people in society that don't have a lot of integrity, but again, it's because of the situation they're bred into, you know, the indoctrination that they've undergone, you know, the fact that they're forced to live in a state of scarcity their whole lives. And believe that all these other countries are a threat to them.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone out, you've traveled, you've seen the world. It's not what they tell us.
You know, no.
It's not this dangerous place that they tell us it is. There's a lot of countries that are in pretty bad condition because we've gone in and marginalized them.
You know,
We've gone and exploited them. I mean, look what we did to Africa, for example. We're talking about Africa. All of the problems that Africa faces all come from England, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Middle East as well. I mean, it was England who went in there and drew all those lines. Look at the lines in the Middle Eastern countries, the map lines. These are drawn on a map. These are drawn with a ruler on a map.
Yeah, all around Syria and
this is the West,
central Middle East part. Yeah. Well, good. It is an absolute minefield, and when you look into it more and more and more, and it depends on what propensity one has to start travelling and traversing down certain paths. Now, myself, as like I say, a philosopher and a psychologist, these are the two facets of knowledge that I carry with me at all times, and this is what and how I view the world. And as long as, you know, we only look at the matrixial aspect of it, then we're never going to understand what this world is about. Because this world, there's in actual fact two worlds, and you've spoken about the two worlds thing. You see, we've got the internal world going on of the conscious world and the spiritual world and the all-knowing world. The facet of where we actually derive from as consciousness, which of course is very speculative, but there's many, many people will tell you stories about there is many other worlds. And if you sample psychedelics, then you will see that there's very, very peculiar states of consciousness that you can partake in. If you look at it like that, then you start to take less serious this show that's going on, the matrix, the hologram, the illusion, the Maya. It's been called so many, many different things by so many, many different people for so long. And so I don't know whether there's any real value in actually getting so immersed in it. Now, you're a very versed and educated person, Max, and yet you choose to concentrate your discourses and all your energy into the matrix. Well, isn't that partaking in their control over people? Wouldn't you be better off bringing about a level of intuition in a person and self-knowledge and self-power in that we are eternal consciousness. And this, in actual fact, albeit seems so very, very real, it is not. It's a play.
Well, yeah, look, I've focused on that extensively in many of my radio shows. I mean, I think that people discovering themselves is the key to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And even when I've brought negative information to people, you know, stuff that's going on within the matrix control grid, if that's what you want to call it, you know, I've done it simply because of the opportunity it provides for you by being aware of this. You know, you can't fix a problem if you're not aware of what the problem is. So
yeah.
Yeah, I've tried to present information to people in that way. I mean, the first half of the show will usually be, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, a bit of an examination of what's going on in the world. And then the last part of the show is usually how to deal with it on a spiritual aspect and from a spiritual perspective and what it means for you to be aware of this information and what you can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's been the gist of the whole thing. You know, right since back in the beginning, most of the shows back in the beginning, the first 3 or 4 years, were all about the spiritual aspects, and certain films that I made, like The Awakening, were all about the spiritual aspects of society and how we will shift society if we can change the inner world. Because, you know, the inner world, it is a projection. You know, people forget that they actually have to apply themselves to this world that you live in, though. I mean, you're in a 3D world for a reason, and you're supposed to participate in it. You know, if you can gain these spiritual understandings that all the stuff you're talking about and actually apply it to your everyday dealings with people, well, you will change the world because it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And that's the way I live my life. I mean, it's important that people realize this, but it's also important that people become aware of the situation. And you know, because you're not just going to change the situation by sitting there and meditating. Like I said, you've got to apply yourself to this world. You're in a 3D physical reality for a reason.
Yeah. You
know? So it's finding that balance and finding that line and walking that path, you know. But, yeah, it's hugely spiritual. This whole battle is hugely spiritual. That is the gist of what we're actually facing more than anything is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
You know, it's a realization of self. This is why I keep saying, you know, you've got to understand the people that are running this show, they're just people, just like you. Why do you think they have any authority over you? It's a myth.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a scam. It's just you've been trained to think this way, which has removed the value of yourself from you. You know, you've been trained to look at yourself as this little person who can do nothing. You're just a pleb out there trying to get a bigger front door than the guy next door because that means something. It doesn't. You know, it's not about building a big pile of junk to sit on and saying, wow, I'm king of the pile. That's not what life is about, you know. There's a lot more to this than what people would perceive. So, yeah, it has been the gist of the show right back from the beginning. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. But I have covered that quite extensively on many, many shows. Even recently I've kind of gone back towards that a little bit just to try to clarify a few things in people's minds because I've been getting a few emails from people.
That's right. And so your work is very well respected by many people. And, you know, all the things that you discussed, and then, you know, I have a great adhesion too. The thing is that's very, very difficult to convey to the masses is that, in actual fact, we are living in two worlds. And this is what I've always endeavoured to do, is to open my viewers' eyes to the fact that we are spiritual beings. And even though we have been told by the mainstream a lot of nonsense, dismissive about the spirit, other than what they want to convey to us, that one day, if we're good little boys and girls, then we're going to go to heaven. Well, you know, that is remotely based on something which there seems to be a certain veracity to, in that we are spirits, we're eternal entities, and we will go somewhere at the end of it. And so it seems to me that what this thing is here, it's a test, it's a game, it's some form of level of entertainment. And we have made manifest here to experience something. Now, of course, there's many, many facets of how we're going to look at this. We could say that, well, we've decided as individual spirits, somewhere up in the spirit heaven, that we're going to come into our dimension and we're going to forget that who we are. We're going to forget that we are consciousness, which is everything. We're going to become little me, and then we're going to create little others of us to experience ourselves via, and to challenge ourselves and to have an experience which we can all grow and evolve within. Because it seems to me that if you look at the world from a philosophical perspective, then it just seems that there's one thing in existence, and that is awareness. And this awareness is creating the show of complexity. And all the emotions that can be generated via whatever's been generated throughout all the animal kingdom. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. And, of course, there's the whole myriad of perspectives that creatures are viewing this world via. And you will view it different to what I will, to anybody else. And so we're all seeing something which is different to the next person. And so how can we ever really gain any level of consensus on anything that we're going to do when we're all, in actual fact, philosophically, Max, living in different worlds?
Well, you know, if we can just gain the respect for each other to realize that. I realize that everybody has value. This is why I finish every radio show with In Lakesh. I'm another yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the world is different from everybody's perspective, but everybody's perspective has value. You know, everybody is the center of their own universe. Your universe revolves around you. And you know, it's the same with everybody, you know. If you look at overlapping universes, well, there's the overlapping universes right there. We have 7 billion overlapping universes right here on this one Earth.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's having that understanding and having that respect for yourself, you know, in your value and your perspective that will allow you hopefully to have that respect and see the value in other people's perspectives and realize that everybody is different. Everybody views the world from a completely unique perspective, and that perspective is valid. It has value. Otherwise, that person wouldn't be here. That person wouldn't exist. You know, it's all needed. It's all necessary. So, you know, that's what will change things. If we could just get that mutual respect for each other, we'd stop hurting each other. We'd stop doing what government tells us to do. You know?
Yeah, but if everything is needed and necessary, then surely the world's adversaries are necessary, because...
Well, you've got to have evil. You've got to have the opportunity to go wrong in order to make the choice to go right. It's just that we're not making that choice. We're just allowing things to go wrong, and we're just being distracted by all these conveniences in this virtual world we're being led into.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty clever the way they've done it, but really that's the problem.
It's amazingly clever. That's right. But you see, I'm of a similar sort of age. I'm 54, and lots of my friends on my side are of a similar age, and so we have a certain level of programming. And there's one major emphasis that I put on what it is to be a human being, and I state very emphatically that all we are outside of this consciousness is an accumulation of every single experience that we've ever had, nothing more. Because when you look for the human body, you can't find it. When you look for atoms, they come in and out of existence, and there's no corporality to it whatsoever. It's just some sort of game going on, hide and seek. Peepo, now you see me, now you don't. And it's very, very curious. And it seems to me that this universe is designed with the intent to keep us chasing our tails, because we will never, ever, ever find the nature of the universe, because if we do, we'll find the nature of God. And so this is the great difficulty that I see. And I don't really know whether there's any particular way for humanity to go, because I'm of the frame of mind that I think, well, look, little old us, we think we're something very important in this universe, because we partake in consciousness, and we have the ability to look at ourselves, and we have the ability to project ourselves into a fictitious future. And so therefore, then, we think the universe revolves around us. But if you look at the universe, say like from a consciousness perspective only, we've only been about for a very, very small period in time. And so surely doesn't that say to us that we're not really that important? The crocodile and the shark has been around for, you know, millions of years, and yet we deem we're more important than them. Do you not think that what we are actually as a creature, as a mutation probably, is a stepping stone for consciousness to achieve something else? Maybe it's got an intention, but maybe it doesn't have an intention. Maybe it's just self-growth. It's just a self-experiential thing that's going on. You see, why am I saying this is Max, I'm getting to a point here now with this AI stuff. It seems to me that if you look at it from this perspective, then the AI, the information, that information has always been here. All the information in the universe has always been here. It's just that some of it we are starting to discern, to discover, and we're putting pieces together. And this is why we are acting in the godlike way when we are creating. We are creating this AI, and we're speculating very heavily that we're going to get to a position in time whereby we're going to achieve this singularity. When we achieve this singularity, then the continuation of the human race looks very speculative. And so I think then that this consciousness, it doesn't care for the human being. It's indifferent. It doesn't have any morals. It doesn't have any biases. It just is, and everything just is. And so if we look at it then, that the human being is a stepping stone for AI, and it won't be long before we are absolutely morphed into cyborgs initially, and then the human physical body is actually obsolete at some stage. What do you feel about that?
Well, look, it's possible. It's just a stepping stone for consciousness. And even when you're saying, you know, the shark has been here for millions of years, well, if you think that everything is consciousness, you know, we're simply an aspect of that consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, the energy field around you isn't empty. It's full. It's full of energy. And the energy itself is conscious. That's where everything comes from. You know, everything comes from consciousness. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And it is absolutely possible that's exactly what we are. We're simply a stepping stone. You know, but you know, what is God even? You want to get into these sorts of concepts. I mean, if you were God, if you were something like that, some omnipotent, all-present, all-knowing, you know, the life force, whatever it is, one thing it would be lonely. And you would probably want to do something like create a situation where you could split yourself into 7 billion different aspects and experience reality just to experience the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because otherwise there would be no experience. And as for the nature of reality, I mean, I don't think we're supposed to know. I don't think it's even relevant for us to know. It's this thing that we've got. We want to know everything about everything. Why? You know, it's about the experience. You're only here for a breath. You're only here for, what, 50, 100 years? I mean, it's a blink of an eye. And you're going to waste all that time trying to figure out the nature of the universe. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know? And what for? It's not about that. It's about the journey. It's about what you do with it. I mean, perhaps this is even a place where you come to grow your soul, which is why you have to be given all of these choices to go wrong if you want to. You know, you've got to be able to do the most evil thing possible if that's where your soul's going to go, if that's where your mindset is, because this needs to come out. You know, these little things that we do by ourselves, we think we're getting away with. No, what if it's all on video? What if it's all watching? What if we're laying back watching the movie of our lives right now?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what it's all about? You know, maybe it's just a classroom. Maybe we come here, maybe this whole thing is an exam. You know, who knows what it's all about.
That's right. Yeah. And so one of the one of my viewers, I was Skyping with last night, and I mentioned to her that I was going to be speaking with you today. And she says, oh, wow, you know, I love his shows and, you know, all the stuff that he stands for. What are you going to be asking him? And I said, I'm going to be asking him, does he think there's any efficacy in what he does? And she says to me, oh, I don't think you should be so mean. What do you think, what can you derive from what she said there?
Look, I think there is efficacy in what I do because I get emails from people saying, you saved my life last night. I get emails from people saying, you know, I've changed the way I view reality. My life is now better. I'm not paranoid all the time. I'm now a better husband. I'm now a better father. I have so many people write to me and say, yeah, you've changed the way I think. have so many people write to me and say, you know, by applying these philosophical understandings to the world, I've suddenly manifested everything I wanted. I've got my perfect house, and I've got my income that I wanted. I've got all the stuff that I needed to be me. You know, I get so many emails like that from people.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I think it is effective. I think, you know, speaking to people in a common tongue, in a language they understand, not over-intellectualizing things. So many people, we go on these radio shows and they want to use every eclectic word they can think of, you know.
Yeah.
And they just, it's just obfuscation, the whole thing, you know. They're just hiding the truth behind their intellect, and it's their ego getting in the way. I just come in and I talk in layman's terms, like I'm sitting around having a conversation around the kitchen table. And just trying to help people see the value in themselves. And I think it is hugely effective, and I think it has. I think I've reached thousands of people.
Yes.
And that's confirmed by the emails that I get. And like I said, I'm not trying to change the world. I'm trying to help people change themselves by helping people see the value in themselves, because I love people. I just love people. You know, I had a really hard life. I had a terrible childhood, and I've seen a lot of people having a really hard time through life. And I think a lot of them, you know, they bring it on themselves. People, unfortunately, go through lives as their own worst enemy and a victim of themselves. And I know that because I was like that for the first half of my life. So,
yeah.
You know, I've managed to get through that. And I've figured out that if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. And it's really helped me. And I want to try to help other people. I think it gives my life some value to be able to help other people and to be able to share the knowledge that I've got in the hope of helping them discover themselves. And I think it's been hugely effective. So,
yes, yeah, and I'm inclined to agree with you, but I wanted to ask you this question because I said to my friend that I'm not going to be coming to do any interview with anybody and asking them the run-of-the-mill questions, because they can get that anywhere. From anybody. I like to come from another angle. And this is the whole premise that I do. There's been many times, Max, when I've doubted my value as a person doing what I'm doing, because, you know, we all come upon difficult times. We get a lot of rejection. We get a lot of trolling. We get a lot of naysayers. And even the ones that do have a coherence with you, then it's very, very difficult to help them to come outside of themselves, because intellectually they can say, yeah, I get what you're saying, and it's like Mark Passio says, he says, I'm telling you now, if you think you are an awakened person, unless you act on the knowledge that you know, you're still fast asleep. And this is the difficulty that we're experiencing. Too many people are just intellectualizing this stuff, and they are not being participant in anything that is going to remotely change the world for the better. Like you said, you get emails from people who have said to you, you've saved my life and you've helped me, and now I've got this vocation and I've got my house. Well, what have they done with it? They've poured it back into the matrix, into the material aspect of what their life is. That, you mean, how many people have said to you that now I am a relatively ascending being? I know deep in my soul that I am something beyond this dimension. You see, that is the thing that I'm trying to give people.
And I've had a lot of people have those realizations, brother. Like, you know, they have to have that realization in order to be able to manifest some sort of a comfort in this world. I mean, there's no point saying, you know, if you just manifest any comfort in the world, you're participating in the matrix. I mean, you live here, you may as well have a roof over your head while you do it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean,
many people have said to me, yeah, they've gained this knowledge of themselves, and they've gained an entirely new aspect of who and what they are.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's good. But, you know, and that's why I promote activism. That's why I've created Full Circle Projects, so people can get active. They can find support groups. They can get motivated in their community, because, like you say, and like Mark said, you need to act on this information. That's why I do the radio shows. That's why I travel around the world and do the speaking things that I do, because, yeah, I can't know what I know and not share it. I would feel guilty. I would feel terrible. What's the point of even knowing all this if you don't share it with people?
That's absolutely my standpoint, and I've often questioned that because I find it quite bewildering, because it takes a lot of effort, and I wonder, and, you know, I take my hat off to you doing all these enormous long journeys, you know, travelling from Australia to Europe. I did it once in my life, and I swear I'll never do it again. I just do not have the strength and energy for that level of travel. And so it's a marvellous thing what you're doing. And, you know, I endeavour to bring about a certain realisation and to make people's lives more comfortable. And even though I'm of the disposition that questions the veracity of what I'm doing on a daily basis, because it seems to be so slow. And just to bring you into the present situation with me, I had this YouTube site for 5 years, and I built it up to over 15,000 subscribers, and there's 3 million views. Now, obviously, that's chicken feed compared to one stupid video which can get 10 million views, and, you know, all this sort of thing. It's all sorts of courses. This esoteric stuff is a very, what can you say? It's there's not too many people that want to delve into the esoteric, because it takes too much time, it takes too much energy, and what I've come to understand about it is that it's a lifelong endeavour, and people, they don't have facility to be philosophers, because they've got a job to do, they've got families to rear, and so this is why people can't really put the time and effort into it. But I've chose this path because I emancipated myself financially. And so therefore, I was propelled into doing this, and I wonder why I'm propelled into doing it, but there's something that makes me do it, and just like you, I get emails and people tell me that they've made great gains and benefits from what I've said, and so I have to look at myself as a humble being, and if I say, well, if it's only a few, then I have a purpose, and what I've come here to do has been of benefit to mankind in some shape or form.
Well, absolutely, you know, and it's good. I mean, if you make one person's life easier because you existed, then your life has been a success, you know, and, you know, by doing what we do, we reach hundreds of people, thousands of people, you know, and it helps them shift, you know, gain the tools they need to shift themselves into a better space. And that's what we're trying to do, because it is a spiritual battle. It is an internal thing, you know. And, you know, but without the right tools, people can't ever do that. You know, they go read these self-help books, but no one ever really gives them the little bit of advice they need to actually help themselves.
Yes.
The way they want to, you know. And that's what I've tried to do, and that's what you've tried to do. So it's a good thing, you know. And I think we are making a difference, and, you know, bit by bit, ripple by ripple.
So,
and that's what will change things. And the world is changing. You know, people are changing. People are getting it. You know, so many people are getting it.
Yeah.
You know, the conference I just did in Mexico, for example, the anarchist conference, over 4 years, the first year there was 150 people, second year there was 300, third there was 500, and the last time we just did was 1,600 people.
Right.
They're accommodating for 4,000 next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the crowds are growing, and people want the information, and people want the tools to be able to fix their lives and to be able to address this situation. They're waking up to the fact that governments are just racketeering. Now, we've got a short window to turn it around, but we still do have an opportunity to do it, and I think we probably will.
Yeah, and so not to keep you too much longer, if I can just engage you for another 10 minutes, this new site that I've created, the Ascending Awaken Brave, named so because the previous site was called the Awakened Brave, and so what I wanted to do, I conveyed to all of my subscribers that I want to go forward and I want to engage all of you on a much more personal level, because what is actually happening in the world, that we're losing the facility, ability and desire to communicate with one another at face value about really deep, meaningful human things. And so I appeal to 15,000 subscribers, and to this date, after about a month after launching it, there's 46 people. Including myself and some very close friends who've come forward. And so it's evident, Max, that the people with the desire to sit down and philosophize and open their hearts about the deep-rooted things that they feel want to rid themselves of, that they want to make some sort of self-actualization, the people that want to do that are minuscule.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. And it's the same with Full Circle Project. I started Full Circle Project to create a platform for people after having so many people say to me, you know, I'm awake, I'm in this community, I'm alone, I need someone to talk to. So I created the mechanism for them to find people in their community to talk to. And still they don't reach out.
No, exactly. Right? And everybody, every single person that I've ever Skyped with always say that I couldn't speak to anybody in my vicinity. Thank God I found your site and sites like it. And so what I've been saying is, well, you've said this to me, and so now we're here, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to come forward? Are you going to get engaged with us? Are you going to all join together in a community which want the same things? We all want to self-actualize. We all want to ascend. We all want to grow spiritually. And as human beings, we all want to gain a greater insight and all this sort of thing. And so it's a real long slog. And so what I've decided to do now is, and this is the reason we're reaching out to you and several other people recently, I want to create a hub whereby I want to invite all like-minded people who have been out there doing it for years and years that are not shy about conversing and, you know, revealing themselves in an interview, asking questions that they're not expecting and all this sort of thing. Because there's no point in any of this nonsense, because none of it's real in any real sense anyway. And if you do reveal the worst hidden secrets about yourself, then you'll discover that it's emancipating and it's a benefit to you. So what you're doing is self-detrimental by keeping all this stuff in. So I endeavour to have people engage with one another, and it's starting off beautiful. And so what I want to do is I want to include as many people as I can and bring them into the hub so I can promote every one of you. I want to promote you and all the rest of them. And so people then, just from one site, can look at like the Friends of the Awake and Brave and discover that there are, you know, in actual fact, a good number of people kind of like fighting for this cause. And what is the cause at the end of the day? What I consider it is, at the absolute end of the day, Max, is getting back to our humanism. Because the humanity has been taken out of us, and so if we can get back to this level of engaging with people without fear, without anxiety, without ego, without bias, without programs, you know, all this shit that we're carrying with us, I endeavor to help people to rid themselves of that and be free.
Well, yeah, that would be good. It would be good to do. I mean, it's a hard thing to find. I mean, freedom is what it's about. You know, yeah, being human, just being free. You know, we've never been free anywhere that I can find in the human experience, and we need that, and we have an opportunity for that now. So, yeah, I mean, get as many people in as you can and try to get the egos out of the way, which is a hard thing in this movement as well. I mean, I've gone out of my way to try to meet as many, you know, big names, if that's what you want to call it, in this so-called truth movement. And, you know, I find so many people that have an agenda. I found good players in there as well, good people, but, you know, I've found that most people have an agenda that's sort of very much focused on their own career, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't consider myself to have a career at all. You know, it's just something that I do that I never really wanted to do. I was kind of thrust into it, and now I spend most of my time traveling and trying to wake people up. You know, which is all going to stop, you know, in another couple of months. So I really want to take a break from traveling. I've been bouncing around the world for too many years now. So, but, yeah, I mean, good on you for doing it. I mean, finding the time is another thing. I mean, you could include me, but getting the time to do it before October is going to be hard for me because I've just got so much on that I don't get any time for myself. I didn't even get to put out a radio show last week because I just didn't have the time.
Yeah.
I've got to do a radio show this week, plus I've got another couple of interviews, plus I've got to prepare a two-hour presentation for Ireland next weekend, which I haven't even done one slide for yet. So right. I've got a lot of stuff on, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to burden anybody with any obligation remotely. What I want to do is be privileged to be able to promote you freely on this site, uploading your videos, and from time to time, whenever you have the time and the inclination to come back and speak with myself or indeed another member of the community to get a different feel of what we're about. just to have a presence on the site of people like you. I think this is going to be very inspiring for the general member, because they can see that then that there is actually a efficacy to it. It is growing, it is becoming more expansive, and more people are taking what we're doing seriously. And at the end of the day, I think that's basically probably what I'm appealing to people to do, to take this more seriously, because it is indeed very, very serious. And the benefits that we're all going to get out of it, if we apply a level of seriousness to it, are going to be immense.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a very serious situation. It's a very desperate situation. That's why the shows have become a little bit more political lately, and I've been focusing, quite extensively on some of the problems that we're facing, the smart grid and stuff lately, because we're facing a clear and present danger, and it is quite urgent that people start getting involved. And good on you. Good on you for wanting to do it. Happy to be involved in it.
Well, that's brilliant, and I thank you very much for your time, Max. It's been a pleasure meeting you. I'm sorry that you couldn't have had this reciprocated, but this technical stuff is very challenging. It seems the more I'm getting involved, then the more challenges I'm presented with. But isn't this just the nature of it?
All good, brother. It's challenging just being here in Holland at the moment. I've just been in Peru and Mexico.
Yeah.
And now I'm in Holland, and it's -1.
Yeah.
It's a far cry from what I've been used to.
And on your own there, Max?
No, I'm staying at a friend's place. A friend here has been kind enough to let me stay in his apartment while I'm here.
Right. Brilliant. And so where can the viewer tune in to the presentations that you're going to be doing?
Look, you can find everything about me on thecrowhouse.com.
Okay, brilliant. So I'll post those down.
Yeah. The presentation I'm giving next weekend is at the Open Mind Conference in Ireland. That's at Dooley's Hotel in Waterford, Ireland.
Right.
If anywhere in the area, do come along to that. I'm going to be speaking at AV9 later on in May, around about the 7th or 8th of May, I think. That'll be in the UK. And that'll be the last two talks I'm doing for quite a while, until Anacapulco next year. So I'm trying to get off the road for a little while. But if you are in Ireland, do come along to that this weekend. It's going to be a good gig.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you very much for your time. It's been a real pleasure. I wish you all the best, and I hope to be meeting you one day in person, like I do everybody that I engage with at some stage.
Not a problem, Aaron. Happy to come on any time, brother. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you, Max. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.